Good evening, everybody. Today's scripture readings present us with two stories, similar in some way, yet different. The first story, the story of David, only the second king of Israel. Now, by his extraordinary efforts, David had finally brought stability to the kingdom of Israel. The kingdom was now secure enough for David to build a palace for himself, for the king. The Ark of the Covenant, however, wasn't a mere tent, and you know, for the Israelites, the Ark contained the two stone tablets and the staff of Moses. And so for them it was a sign of real presence, and the ark was in a mere tent. And it troubled David that he had a palace, but the ark was in a temporary tent. So David decides to build a temple for God. And in one sense, we must admire David's sincerity and thoughtfulness. But if we go a little deeper, does it not seem incredible that a mere human being should attempt to build a dwelling place for God who created the universe and everything in it? As if the most magnificent structure could hold the power and the majesty of God. I don't want to be unfair to David, because David's intentions were sincere, good, and holy. But here is the point that the scripture readings are trying to make, that David had to learn that he must make decisions in accord with God's will. And that it was not just his plan that must be carried out. David soon realized that God's plan was the opposite. That God willed to build a kingdom for David. And that as far as the temple is concerned, it would not be David's plan. Someone else will build the temple. And you and I know that it was Solomon then who built the temple. Now, the second story is that of Mary. We heard that in the gospel reading. Unlike David, she was not from a royal family, nor did she live in a free nation. She was poor, and the last thing she could do was build a temple for God. However, she did something far greater. She became God's temple. She did so as she exclaimed, "May it be done to me according to your word or your will." In ways that David never could, Mary surrendered her will to God for eternity. So it's all about God's will and our will. And in my three points today, I want to reflect on discerning God's will. Discernment is a very critical gift that we Christians need to navigate through life. So here are my three points for today. God's will and our will. So God has given us two great gifts. It's given naturally to all of us: intellect and free will. We navigate through life using these two gifts. We use our intellect, our reason, our rationality, and the free will to take responsibility, to make crucial decisions, and to make meaning not only of our lives, but those entrusted to our care. In Christian living, though, there is yet another factor to consider: God's will. As Christians, we try to make sure that our lives and God's will are in accord with each other. For example, David willed to build a temple for God, but God's will was very different. In my own life, when I was ordained, I never imagined that I would actually serve a church in a foreign land. Never part of my calculations. But here I am. Now, as you look at your life, I'm sure you realize that sometimes life has led you in directions that you never intended to go. This then is the challenge of Christian spirituality, that God's will and our will are in accord. The challenge is even more intense because almost always it's not that an angel appears to us and tells us what God's will is, like it did for Mary. Moreover, God does not force God's will upon us. Using our intellect and the free will, we can only hope to discern God's will and accomplish it to the best of our ability. So the question is, how can we be sure that we are accomplishing God's will? How can we ensure that our will is not contrary to God's will? So in my 2 points that are coming up, I want to reflect very briefly on it. Believe me, it's not possible to cover all of the nuances of discernment, but let me at least try to give some basic principles. So here is my second point. God's will as we know it. Unfortunately, God's will does not appear to us as if on a television screen, right? I have never had an angel appear to me. I did not become a priest because of the sound of trumpets, a vision, or a dream. In fact, even though, as the angel says to Mary, nothing will be impossible for God, folks, it is unreasonable to expect an angel at every juncture of our lives. In fact, I don't think it happened to Mary either. Once the angel disappeared after the birth of Jesus, we've never heard about the angel in Mary's life again. Rather, God gives us the ability and the tools necessary to live meaningful lives, lives that correspond to God's will for us. So, 4 tools, 4 gifts that God has given us so that we can know the broad principles of God's will, right? First, the most important tool God has given to us is Scripture. From the very first book of the Bible to the very last, we know the reason why God created us. We know the gifts of the intellect and free will that God has given to us. And we know that God created us to be happy and live in union with God and with one another. Now, this is God's will. We know it, right? Sometimes we figure out what's God's will. Well, here it is, right? One of them. But Scripture also reveals all that is contrary to God's original intention. So Adam and Eve, for example, have much to teach us about how not to try to accomplish God's will. The second gift that God has given to us is the life of Jesus. Jesus most clearly showed us the way in which human beings can not only live meaningful lives, but also live in accord with God's will. In fact, at Gethsemane, he surrendered his will to God. On the other hand, the events of Jesus' life also reveal how human beings can thwart God's will and even become an obstacle to accomplishing God's will. Thirdly, we have the lives of our predecessors who are either models or bad examples of discerning God's will. So Abraham, David, the prophets, John the Baptist, Mary, and Joseph, the Magi, and the saints. These are our role models when it comes to accomplishing God's will. On the contrary, Cain, the unfaithful kings of Israel, Herod, for example, in the New Testament, are people whom we are to refrain from imitating. Judas, for example. And then fourth, we have the teachings of the church. We believe that the same Holy Spirit that overshadowed Mary continues to accompany the church. The teachings of the church, too, help us to discern the decisions we must make in our lives. And then, of course, God speaks to us through one another. God can make known God's will for us through our beloved ones, our friends, our mentors, and sometimes even people that we may not like. In fact, to the discerning heart, and this is the key, am I the kind of person who is on the lookout to discern? To the discerning heart, every experience, both positive and negative, can be God's way of communicating with us. So these are the tools and the gifts that God has given us to discern God's will in our lives. So I come to the final point on discernment. Folks, at the end of our lives, the most meaningful thing we can do is to offer our lives back to God, confident that we have lived it for the purpose for which God has created us, right? How wonderful it would be that we can stand in God's presence and on that day just feel peaceful that we have accomplished what God sent us to the earth for. How wonderful that would be. And as we try to do this, it is only partly true that we do not know what God's will is. We may not know what each decision we may need to make is. For example, should I continue to live in the U.S. or not? Should I continue to keep this job or not? My marriage is in trouble. Should I go forward with the divorce or not? I have a new promising job coming up. Should I take it or not? Should I have another child or not? These are all decisions that we struggle with. In the four points that I mentioned earlier, what God has given us are the broad principles which we can use to make the decisions we make in our lives. In reality, folks, discerning God's will and attempting to live meaningful lives, and this is the most important point that I'm trying to make, is really about modeling our lives around the life of Jesus. For example, if we do not love God with all our heart, our mind, soul, and strength, and if we do not love each other as Christ has commanded us, we know that our lives are not in accordance with God's will. It's plain and simple. When we accept a culture of death, of greed, of inequality, of lust, of hate and violence, we know that our lives are not in accordance with God's will. On the contrary, God wills that we live a life characterized by poverty of spirit, mercy, meekness, compassion, faithfulness, gentleness, peace, patience, generosity, and goodness. Discerning God's will means that the decisions we make about our vocation, right? What shall I do in my life? So discerning God's will means the decisions we make about our vocation, our state of life, our family, children, employment, how we manage our finances, how we vote, our time and our talents, are guided by the broad principles that God has made known to us in the scriptures and in every other way. So today, God is not going to come and tell me, buddy, go back to India or stay in the US. No, that's not what I'm trying to discern. I need to discern, where is it that if I live, I'm fulfilling the life of Jesus, which has been laid out to me in the scriptures. As long as my life fulfills the broad principles that God has given us, then God trusts us to make those decisions. And then we trust that because we have made our decisions based on what God has revealed to us, that what we are doing is indeed right and true. When we realize that the choices we make in our day-to-day lives violate the broad principles God has placed before us, then we know that our will and God's will are not in accord. So as I say, and you'll be tired of this, but I'm going to say it again, discernment is to learn to think like Jesus, to talk like Jesus, and to act like Jesus. So as we receive Christ in this Eucharist, folks, let us pray for the mind and the heart of Jesus. As often as we are confronted with life and its complexities, may we be guided by God's will. And like Mary, may we often say, may it be done to me according to your word. People of God, say,